Hello, hello, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of Wild Virginia Virtual Coffee Talk. I'm Katie Keller, Publicity and Outreach Director with Wild Virginia, and today I have David Sly, our Conservation Director, on with us, and we're going to give you an overview of the Virginia's Water Future campaign and a couple of updates. So, Dave, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. So if we could start just a general overview of the Virginia's Water Future campaign and, you know, what Wild Virginia is doing for that.
Sure. Well, this campaign grew out of the fact that we have seen in relation to the pipeline fights and other issues that Virginia regulators just aren't applying their regulations the way they're supposed to, and that they need some new rules to make sure that things are protected. So we began forming a strategy with other groups really probably almost 2 years ago. And last September presented a slate of what we think are the first important steps to the State Water Control Board. We were joined by 55 other groups in presenting that petition. And we're seeking some very specific changes to Virginia regulations, the water quality standards, which are designed or supposed to be designed to protect all our streams and wetlands. And we're asking for four specific things. One is that the state actually implement what are called narrative criteria, which are descriptions of how our waters are supposed to be protected so that we can all use them and so that they're sustainable. Second, that they adopt what are called numeric criteria. And in this case, we're looking for those both for nutrients, which can cause nuisance algae growth and that kind of thing in water bodies. And second, something called turbidity, which is simply when sediment, dirt, other things get into a stream and make it cloudy and unsightly. And finally, we're asking for some changes in specific kind of permitting processes so that whatever the criteria, both narrative and numeric, that the state actually does the right kind of analysis and makes sure that those things will be met. So we've done kind of a range of activities. First, as I say, we submitted this as a big unified group of organizations and individuals to the State Water Control Board, which has the regulatory authority to make these changes. And we're following that up with involvement in some processes that the state has now started. For one, in relation to those numeric criteria for turbidity, the Water Board told the Virginia DEQ to go and develop those kinds of numeric criteria. And so now, finally, the DEQ has begun a formal process to do that, and we are going to be involved in what they call a regulatory advisory panel to make our recommendations on how that should be done. The other part is there is a review of Virginia's water quality standards that they have to do every 3 years. It's called the triennial review. And we are heavily involved in that. We have submitted comments to say that along with those turbidity criteria, they have to come up with numeric nutrient criteria. And that's things like phosphorus and nitrogen that just, they feed the plants in the streams too much. They cause algae blooms, they cause low dissolved oxygen in the waters, and just lots of problems. And finally, that they need to have some implementation procedures for these narrative criteria. The DEQ has basically told us that, you know, we don't know how to implement these narrative criteria. Well, that's unacceptable. And what we now have to get, apparently, is some regulatory guidelines that the board can adopt to essentially tell DEQ, no, you have to do it, and here's the way you do it. So that's some of what we're working on. There are other parts of it.
Well, and that's exciting that this campaign, you know, is backed by 55 other organizations and organizations similar to Wild Virginia that act as watchdog, nonprofits to make sure that these things are implemented. Could you elaborate a little bit on what the importance is for all of this criteria in relation to some of these projects that are coming out?
Right. Well, again, take, for example, the pipelines, the Mountain Valley Pipeline, which work is ongoing, and we're trying to make sure that the state of Virginia does enforcement so that when they're causing threats or problems in streams, that they take action and stop that. They have the ability right now to say there are problems, standards violations, if the water, if the pipeline people basically, you know, discharge a lot of mud into a stream or cause it to be coated with sediments. And that has happened dozens and dozens of times. And so if Virginia will actually apply these narrative criteria, they can say, that's a problem. You got to stop that. And in fact, under a new law that was just adopted that we helped write and advocated for, they can actually stop work on the pipeline if that continues to happen. So they can issue an order and stop construction on a portion of the Mountain Valley Pipeline or on the whole thing within Virginia if they violate these criteria. And that was not necessarily the case before. So that was a big advancement. And then, you know, essentially these criteria are supposed to be applied in every instance where the state of Virginia issues some kind of permit or some kind of authorization, say for land development or, other kinds of things that can affect water. And so we're just insisting that they carry out those legal requirements and do what they're supposed to do.
Sure. Well, I know folks can visit www.wildvirginia.org to learn more about this People's Platform for Change. We also have a petition that we're running, or we'll be sure to include that in the show notes. But any other updates or any other ways that you can mention today that folks can get involved?
Well, first of all, I wanted to go back to this group of organizations that signed on to our request to the board. And as you noted, you know, some of those groups are like Wild Virginia, that we work, you know, constantly on trying to protect and preserve our waters and our environment. But I'm really proud, too, because some of those groups are not really the traditional kind of groups that we have worked with. And we've really tried to reach out to other types of groups. There are those who are focused more on environmental justice. And that's important because, you know, whether you have clean water in your community, in your area, is a justice issue. If you're deprived of clean streams and your drinking water and your recreational areas are impaired or degraded, then you've had some rights taken away from you. So we have groups like that. We have a youth oriented group with high school students from across the state who joined us. So that's a really notable and occurrence, because I don't think this wide kind of widely represented group has ever undertaken something like this as a whole. But as far as things people can do, again, people know their local areas and their local streams better than anybody. And for them to pay attention to what's going on in their area, if there are projects, if there's development or discharges from an industry or anything like that that you see causing a problem, first of all, you can and should make complaints to the state DEQ or your local development inspectors for your local government. But that also means that you obviously can see the results of the failures of our regulatory system. And so that should tell you that your lives are being impacted directly. And if you have not been involved in the campaign, that's a good reason for you to jump in and join us. Because again, people in local areas know their resources better than anybody, better than the agencies, better than a statewide group like ours can ever keep track of. So I just encourage people to be aware and to be prepared to defend their own places. If Wild Virginia, we talk about protecting the wild places that you love and that you value. And that means, you know, your local park, it means the national forest, it means the James River or the smallest creek through your backyard. And so we like to help people be advocates for their own waters and their own areas. And so keep up with our campaign, keep up with our announcements. And very often we have opportunities where we will give you information on how you can make comments on a specific regulatory proposal. And don't never feel that you don't have a place in those processes or that your voice does not matter. And we can really help you know how to do that effectively.
Sure. Certainly here to help give folks the tools. It takes interagency collaboration. It takes these different 55 groups coming together to back campaigns like this. It takes you and your own communities. Again, all of these tributaries are leading to a bigger source of water. And so as the Virginia landscape is different in certain areas, it takes everybody on the ground. Well, Dave, I really appreciate you joining me today for this episode. And if anyone would like to get involved, you can learn more at www.wildvirginia.org.
Thank you for tuning in for this episode of Wild Virginia Coffee Talk. For more information on our campaigns, please visit www.wildvirginia.org. Stay wild, Wild Virginians.